It's Wednesday morning. You know what that means. It's time for another episode of the Alabama Slam Podcast. I'm your host, Corey Hanna.
What's going on, guys? It's Patrick Akers.
And I'm the guy that actually chose Drew McIntyre.
It's going to be a weird show this week. I'm going to go ahead and say that just based off of what I saw in the previous week of wrestling. But I want to go ahead and get into Dynamite first. You know, there was no collision, so I was kind of hoping Dynamite would be a little better. There were a couple matches that I wanted to talk about, and then you had Mercedes doing her opening. What'd you guys think about her opening promo that night?
I hate it. I absolutely hated that thing. This is the most WWE show that AEW has put on to me, and they've been doing this for a couple of times there. They had that, they're getting into that 15-minute promo open that, you know, everybody complains that WWE does, but they don't know how to do it. So they bring her ass out to talk about a promo. She then cuts to a video that says the exact same thing she just said in the video, and then comes back to it and just, it's, oh my goodness, it just made me so mad.
Yeah, it's funny you said this is the most WWE show that aid, because I felt like Monday Night Raw, which we'll get into, felt way more like early era AEW than W, which is, so like the companies are kind of swapping, but I'm with you, Steven.
Taking shots last night.
I absolutely hated this promo. And I don't know.
She said shit. That's the problem. She didn't say a damn thing. And the things she did say, she discounted the, you know, in the second half of the promo.
Well, we've talked about a lot, like when AEW shines, the characters on that show don't feel like they're playing characters. And we'll get into Will Ospreay's promo later on in the show. But like, Mercedes feels like she's playing a character. And I don't know if it's just because she's an AEW now. It just stands out more. And not only does it stand out more like on the screen, but I felt like the people in the audience could tell too.
I mean, she said nothing. She's talking about how she's here to fight Willow because Willow almost, you know, cost her career. But minor inconveniences are what, you know, make people into the superstars they are. Okay, was it a career-ending injury or was it a minor inconvenience? You can't have it both ways here,
yeah,
lady.
Yeah. But it's also like, okay, I'm going to come down the ramp, and at this point, this is when I do my dance, mm-hmm, and I come around to this side, and this is when I do this, and this is when I do this, and it sticks out like a sore thumb in that company, because a lot of that company, for better or worse, and a lot of times it's worse, is just fly by the seat of your pants, off the wall kind of shit.
I mean, Eddie Kingston walks out there like he's getting ready to fight, and he's got to make it quick because he might have to poop.
Yeah, I mean, he just beelines.
That is a thing, though. Like, I meant to and I forgot because I was so tired, but I told Jamie last night, skipping forward to Raw for a second, I wanted to go back in time from the moment The Rock's music hit until he actually whispered anything to Cody, the amount of time that passed. It was an enormous amount of time.
It's roughly 3 minutes.
It felt like 17.
Oh, I know. It felt, but if you from the moment he, because I went back to try to, because there was some talk about what he whispered, and I wanted to see if I could read the lips as well.
That's what Twitter's for.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The thing, the first Twitter I came across was The Rock entrance. So, you know, you get him coming out, and it's a 2-minute and 44-second clip. And all it is his music, Cody turning to look at the music hit, him walking to the ring doing his four posts, and then it cuts. And I'm like, okay, this gets me nothing. So I have to find the next one. The entire segment's like 4 minutes and 25 seconds. So, I mean, from the moment Cody turns to the moment The Rock walks back out, you got 4 minutes.
The long entrance thing, I think you're right. That's very much a WWE thing. I just don't know that that's going to go over.
Well, here's the thing.
And they'll quit doing it eventually with her, don't you think? Like,
I don't know. She's got her own writer that came from WWE. Like, I'm not so sure that it's going to change anytime soon.
But even still, that, I mean, the video that she cuts to, if you had a led with that at the beginning of the hour, have her say that, do some of your stuff, have her then come out to the thing, that would have been fine. That gave you a preview of what was going to come. But instead, the fact that she says the stuff, then cuts to the video that says the exact same stuff, then comes back and then says nothing else of consequence, and then gets involved with the mid-card is, you know, and not even great involved with the mid-card. There's no story that's advanced. There's no nothing.
The thing that she does well is wrestle. The thing that the fans of this company like is when people wrestle. Why is she not just wrestling?
Yeah.
To get over.
Well, I mean, Ospreay's not wrestling either.
Ospreay,
he's already wrestled twice.
Ospreay's wrestled twice in 4 weeks, though. That, everybody kind of wrestles twice and in 4 weeks. View. Unless you're Hook. Hook goes every
Jericho,
week.
Jericho, Orange Cassidy, Daniel Bryan.
But Ospreay's on the level of like Daniel Bryan. Like Daniel Bryan and Moxley and those guys. And like even like Swerve. Swerve didn't wrestle. Swerve wrestled this week in an open challenge, but he didn't wrestle last week. He just had a promo. And then Ospreay, of course, he talked about he's going to wrestle next week, Shibata. I mean, but like
Daniel Bryan was doing the weekly dream matches there for a little bit.
And the Mercedes hasn't done anything. So like when is are we going to have to wait till Dynasty? That's a month away.
This is the other company here, but we still haven't seen Jade Cargill in a ring yet, except for 3 minutes in the Rumble, 4 minutes in the Rumble. She's finally going to have a match tonight. What the fuck have they been waiting on?
Well, it might be they're just. She's got to get better. She had to get better in the ring, but like
they don't want her out there getting who was it that got shit on so bad few weeks ago?
Maxine.
Yeah.
No, and she's an image wrestler.
Yeah, but you don't have to give her that fucking much time on TV.
No, but you want if I think that's as much as she's probably asking for that as well, because she has never made it hidden that this is a springboard for her to be Hollywood.
Yeah.
So I'm sure she's back there trying to make sure she's, you know, true, to a standard that she was going to take that next potential career move.
Well, I want her to look at this tape from last week and review it with a fine tooth comb and just be like, this ain't it. I need to cut this and tighten it up.
But I don't know if it's just a tighten up thing. I think it is a fundamental difference in the way she wants to present wrestling. And I don't think that company
wants that.
Wants it or excels in that type.
Well, see, I mean, you can get away with it there. You can, but you have to have substance to get away with it. And there's not. And she's in a feud that nobody cares about. She's, you know.
I'll watch her and Willow Russell. I just don't need a whole bunch leading up to it.
Well, I mean, even if they had you had Hart and Sky come out there and they're fiddle farting with the chairs for a little bit. Willow comes out and Statlander comes out and you get the entirely. Willow's not skilled at what Monet is trying to do either, because she's sitting there with a chair looking, you know, got to hold it in just the right way to make it look like I'm going to hit you and I'm going to hold it for overly long because you're taking too long to turn around and it just looks awkward. And then it's like, oh no.
Yeah, the timing on that was terrible.
Statlander should have hit her ass right at that point, because if you're going to turn her evil, that's your moment.
Yeah, it was, it was not great. I don't know why they just don't have this woman wrestle. This is the company that loves wrestling. Let her wrestle. I don't know. I'm going to assume they're holding it off for quote unquote a big moment, but I don't know. That moment needs to come pretty quick because we've now done this two times in a row.
Yeah,
and the fans, I don't think this. You know, this was outside of Boston.
And
the reaction she got versus the reaction Will Ospreay got when he came out was vastly different.
Yeah, because Ospreay came out and whooped somebody's ass last week.
Well, and that
last week?
Fletcher was like,
that was 2 weeks ago. When we talk about Ospreay's promo, I'll talk about why I think his was a better job. But.
So let's go ahead and skip to a match, because we don't have a lot of matches, I don't think, that we're going to talk about this week. Kingston, Okada.
That happened. Prediction. That was right after that. Yeah. So, I mean.
Okada gets the Continental Classic belt.
I was bored. I'm sorry. I know.
It wasn't a great match. It was just that the title changed hands.
Kingston. He did not have his interest in this match. I mean, when they're doing that little struggle, the strength test of pushing each other against the rope, I mean, and he's not even, you know, in a position to make it look like he's pushing. He's just standing up straight and doing a tango with him. I mean, it was rough.
Well, okay. So now we have Okada has this championship. We'll talk about Adam Copeland. He now has his. At least you have an opportunity here to establish these things, particularly with Okada, because I think what they should do with Okada and what they are going to do is basically make him their version of Gunther, which is a dude who a heel who has a stable around him, who can have good matches and kind of hold this title for a long time, quite a bit. So there are things they did in the match presentation wise that I thought were really good. I love the kicking it down to Renee and her doing the little sideline reporting before the entrance. It's elite. It's different. It's fresh. They can do different things with it. I think for the Young Bucks characters, them cutting backstage and have them doing the replay got a little bit of a pop from me.
Tony's face.
I just kind of wish it wasn't Tony there, though. I wish it was a different no-name producer.
Yeah. If you've got a guy who's generally known to not take up a notch of his wrestling until you get past the 20-minute mark, then you got to give him more than 20 minutes. And that's what Okada is.
Well, I also think Okada is really good when he has two types of opponents. One, a guy who can go athletically with him, like an Omega and Ospreay, that kind of. Eddie can't do that. Or a dude who is physically overpowering than him. Eddie is also not that.
You say that, but I mean, that's what okay. That's what Kenny's. Jeez, Louise. Whoever the hell we're talking about, Eddie Kingston.
Yeah,
that's what he's a chopper. He's a brawler. He's you know, the I don't look it, but I'm going to whip your ass guy.
He
didn't bring it.
And that could have been that too. This was neither one of those guys' best matches, but
I mean, this wasn't. I saw the clip of Tonga Loa from the G1 a few years back where it was him and Okada.
Oh yeah,
where it was like the light
shitty
taps.
Hands. Yeah, yeah, the shitty I'm like, hand thing.
This was it wasn't there. But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't the same Eddie Kingston that you just had on Collision going through Daniel Bryan or all of his little Japanese dream matches. So obviously Okada isn't a dream match for him because he just didn't give a shit.
And I don't know if you would want to do this to Eddie's character, but like, should Okada have just beat the hell out of him? Like, this should this thing have been over in 5 minutes and the commentary goes, holy shit, like we didn't. All right. I mean.
Having just pull on Brock Lesnar, John Cena, 16, you know, back suplexes.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to get the dude over.
Especially when you're doing that exact same thing in the match that followed it with Hook and Lionheart.
Which they shouldn't have done in that one, but yeah, we'll. I'm at least.
I didn't even put that in the notes.
Well, we'll talk about how fucking awful that was. But like, at least with Okada, he has his championship. Well, now we will see what happens. Obviously, a guy like Pac is in that vein of like an Omega, some dude who can athletically go with it. Yeah. Now,
that'll be a good match.
It'll be a good match. Whether it's any, I mean, no one is going to think that Pac is going to beat Okada.
Yeah.
So the thing that's going to be with Okada as he has his belt is, can you just have a couple of interesting storylines here and there? Because it's not like Gunther has had a long, like, he's had a couple of moments with a couple of people, but it's not like in this 600-something days there has been, like, a
few
knockdown rivalry where a guy's been going back and forth. So,
I mean, the closest we got was Gable, Miz.
Well, there was Drew and Sheamus were probably
the
two guys that had the most kind of run there. So if he has something like that, then I think that's a good use of him. And he's got the Young Bucks can do the talking for him.
But who would you throw him up against at this stage? You just sacrifice Kyle Fletcher to Chaos.
I mean, off the top of the head,
you got Swerve that's not in that league anymore.
Jay White.
There are guys like Jay White or maybe, you know, an underdog type of dude. If they, not that they split up the Acclaim, but like, there are other stories there you could tell with some other kind of baby faces.
I mean, I think Daniel Garcia would be a good underdog for him, but yeah, you're not going to take it off him that quickly to make it worth.
No, but Garcia is that's a good, like, you know, you can tell a scrappy little 6 week story there with those guys. Because and another thing that's lingering out there, I don't know if you guys are keeping up with old scapegoat Jack Perry over in New Japan.
Which story are we going to go with?
I think the two friends he's been talking about are the Young Bucks. Yeah. And I think if he comes back in that stable, Okada, Jack Perry, a newly reinvented Jack Perry with the Young Bucks is.
Well, it depends on the day. Is Tony hating him, blaming him, or loving him?
I think that the whole Meltzer reporting that Tony Khan hates Jack Perry is complete. I think our man's is getting worked. There's no way he hates him. He's not going to be in New Japan if he hates him.
I mean, he literally gave another interview talking about, yeah, it's great stuff to watch.
It's just...
He's really getting that character over.
Why would Tony... If Tony hated him, why would he let him go over there and basically rehab himself and his character in front of far fewer people? And, like, I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
Well, and Jack Perry is also... He is the newest member of the biggest heel group in New Japan right now. So, if Tony hated Jack Perry, and Tony has a relationship with Gato, who's the booker in New Japan, you wouldn't... First of all, Jack Perry wouldn't be there.
Yeah, I was going to say, he wouldn't be over, like, go make some money over there real quick, you know, like, while you're still under contract here. Like.
So, anyway, all that to say, I think if Jack Perry comes back and aligns with the Young Bucks, that's a cool little foursome right there that you can do some stuff with.
Yeah, that'd be cool. So I don't have, like I said, I didn't put Lionheart and Hook on there.
You don't really need
Did
to.
Did you have comments or other than it was
like,
bullshit?
Why? Like, I don't, what is, yeah. Again, I feel like I'm getting punked or like I'm missing something when it comes to Hook and Jericho. I don't get it.
Yeah. Well, we don't have to spend any more time on that. I say the only other thing I had from the show was Copeland versus Cage.
So you're billing this as a 3-hour Dynamite because you got Rampage coming after it. And this is your mid-card match.
Well, they built it as a 2-hour Dynamite and then Rampage. They actually ran the Rampage intro and everything like that. So it wasn't a 3-hour Dynamite.
I didn't watch that. I went to bed. I wanted to at least watch the street fight with Willow and Statlander, but I never got back around to it.
How much do you just not give a shit about Rampage? If you're Tony Khan.
Yeah, because why would you not have just had? Why would you not have just called it a 3-hour Dynamite and put Christian and Edge on last?
Because the feed I was watching cut
to black,
and then I had to find my other feed to get to right Rampage find out what happened with the end of that match, because got the overrun. Whoops.
Yeah. All that to be said, though, I liked the match.
It was okay.
They did, you know, it wasn't anything too crazy where they were lighting people on fire.
If this was the match they were going to give us, I take back what I said last week of why this isn't, why you aren't holding this one off for Dynasty, because this was not a pay-per-view match.
It was a good main event, something that you kind of normally don't see in WWE. So,
but I didn't like the ending. I thought the I quit came at the wrong time. Okay. I mean, dude just got kicked in the nards 14 times. That's a little exaggeration. Yep. Got a spiked baseball bat straight to the taint. I ain't quitting. No, man.
You can hear it hit the cup, too. Did you hear it?
If you were gonna damage his groin to that point, that's his quit moment. Ain't no dude taking 14 shots and a spike to the taint and going, nah, let's keep going.
Yeah. Or, you know, Mama Wayne quits for him because he's incapacitated. And
she needs him whole because that's Papa.
Yeah. But I did kind of appreciate, because if you were like legitimately like hated a dude and he was tied up, would you not just like kick him in the nuts as hard as you could a bunch of times? Like, at least that was like realistic. But then I'm kind of with you. The I quit could have, or they could have just built it up a different type of way.
And what I'm evidently confused about I quit matches. Because they had Copeland on the ground. Do you quit? He didn't say no. No, he didn't say shit. So is that, I mean, could I just, you know, never, if I pass out, if I die in the match, I can never say I quit. So do I win that match by technicality?
You just throw it out. Just throw it out. You made the man quit life. That's what you made him do.
He just checked out.
He is checked out.
If you cannot respond, it's just a stupid thing. If he knocked his ass out and walked out of the ring, went down to Sbarro's, got a pizza, you know, went over to
you're thinking about it too much.
I did like
you're
it.
You're overthinking the fantasy rules of a thing that we watch every week that is scripted.
But that's the thing. I want them to. It's a suspension of disbelief to this show, in the sense that I'm already suspending my disbelief that this is a sports show that is where we're taking this stuff seriously. These, you know, we're not like that sports entertainment stuff. We are sports based. So you have a set of rules that I'm already having to disbelieve in order to get there. And then if you are not going to follow the rules to continue that suspension of belief, it gets broken.
Are we sure that's a rule? Or are you just overthinking it?
I mean, wouldn't they not, I mean, if you cannot respond, if he got knocked out, would that match, you know, not, what would happen with it? If he could not respond, how do you quit?
I don't know. All I know is I kind of liked how everybody got involved and then they like kind of got
separated.
They got separated in a way that felt kind of logical and everybody got tied up. So at least there's that was good.
Who came out with them? Who came out for them?
Daddy Magic and Garcia came out with Copeland. Thank and you. Then, of course, it was Nick Wayne and Killswitch.
Yeah. So I couldn't remember. But the guys
think
were.
If Mother Wayne is the one that says I quit because Christian Cage is incapacitated or something, but you have to kind of pay off the gimmick of the spike bat. So he's got to hit him with at least once.
According to Wikipedia, an I quit match is a type of professional wrestling submission match in which the only way to win is to make the opponent verbally concede to the referee. It is a variation of the submission match and can only be won by submission. But
so
it's
maybe it just goes on forever. Yeah. Maybe it never quits.
I mean, heck, we got Mick Foley quit via taped audio.
Taped audio, yeah. I don't know why they didn't have this come at the end of the 3 hours.
Yeah, this was a weird placement for this. If you're building 3 hours of content, this is not what you put in the middle and then restart with the second half of nobody's watching this shit.
Yeah.
So what is the building the card comment on?
That's exactly what I'm right here is this card was built in such a fashion that the match that should have been the main event was in the middle of a show that you then had another hour to go.
It's just weird that they did the split. Why didn't they just say, hey, we're foregoing Rampage. We're going to do a 3 hour supersized.
I assume they had a deal with the television that said we have to give so many Rampages. And so you have to bill it as a Rampage. But even still, you put that match at the end of the Rampage so people sit through it. I mean, it's not like Rampage, you know.
But they also have probably clauses in there because of sports, because of basketball season. Mm-hmm. Like, they know they're going to get the boot. Any other Dynamite notes for the week?
Well, can we talk about Ospreay?
Oh, yeah, my bad.
Can we talk about my favorite wrestler right now?
This one almost lost me, I'll be honest.
Dude, you contrast this with the Mercedes Moné promo. Ospreay, he ain't got no character. He ain't got no gimmick. Dude is just a dude from Essex. And his music hits. He comes down. He's a ball of energy. The crowd's like, fuck yeah, we love this dude. He stands in the middle of the ring. Like, the promo, you don't know where the hell he's going, but he's just going with it.
Just complete weirdness at the beginning is where I'm talking that it almost lost me. But he rescues it at the end.
He doesn't rip the mic out of Tony's hand.
He just stands there. He feels like it could go a thousand different directions.
I'm a cheeky monkey. I need to apologize, but you need to apologize to me by giving me some syrup. And I'm like, I don't know what the... Mind you, because... This is one of those things where this is where I texted y'all. I'm like, when does this show get good? Because I had fallen asleep, and, you know, like in the middle of the Lionheart thing and woken up to give me syrup. And I'm going, what?
This is in Canada.
And I would kind of rather see that. And like, because obviously he's taking a chance there with the syrup line. And it doesn't hit. But I'd rather see that than watch Mercedes
100%,
but regurgitate something that she doesn't halfway believe.
But that's the difference is he hit that moment, realized he had not stuck to landing and moved quickly into talking about something that he was passionate about and was furthering a story along.
Yeah.
He had to apologize for whipping Chris Jericho's ass.
Did he?
Yeah, that's what that
Omega,
was.
Omega. Yeah, it's last time they were at Forbidden Door was in Toronto, and he hit the spike. That was the second match with Kenny with the Don Callis family. Yeah, that's what he's talking about. But then, yeah, like you said, at the end, he rescues it, and he says, you know, I'm a man with I got 3 cats, 2 dogs, a wife, a son, a mortgage, and a point to prove, like, and just... I don't know, man. He's a breath of fresh air, and he is by far the biggest star in the show.
What was the line? When I would put on Daniel Bryan, I would walk a mile in Daniel Bryan's shoes, but they're too small.
Yeah, he's too small.
Yeah, you gotta give it up. That was the shit.
Yeah. Like, does he not feel like the biggest star in this company?
He does right now, yeah. And I ain't mad at it. It's his company. I feel like he's breathed a little life into it.
He's the only one of these big ones that have come in so far that I'm feeling like is actually landing.
Yeah.
Well, and it feels like he's come in, you know, in his promos, he has this recurring theme, and it's even his theme song, Elevate. Elevate. It seems like he is coming in with a mission of, I'm the guy, and everybody is either going to rise to my level, or you're going to get left behind. And I'm not, and it is what it is at this point.
Some people are getting left behind, and they're not all in the same division.
So I'm here for it. I think Swerve's going to win at Dynasty. I think he takes the championship then. And I think Swerve and Ospreay will be the main event for All In. I've continued to
say I know that. We won't get to talk about this for another week. But Takeshita versus Swerve, if you're listening on release day tonight, Takeshita versus Swerve on a Wednesday, man.
I feel bad for him. I feel bad for Takeshita, like I feel bad for Shinsuke. Dudes can go, but because they are not the chosen ones in that particular brand, it's just sad.
But
I think Takeshita is going to be fine. Give him another year or two. We were talking about this dude a year ago, like after his first two or three matches against nobody, we were like, where'd this guy come from?
But I mean, he's at least a dude that you can put a lot of stock in and keep around, because I think he has shown that he can go. Now, obviously, you need to attach him to some kind of mouthpiece, and whether you continue to see that as Don Callis or somebody else, I guess that's a question that remains to be seen. But like, I don't know, you can he's a young dude you can build around. A lot of these dudes, I think Ospreay is kind of leaving behind.
Yeah, Ospreay's got it all. Like we've talked about, he can do the promos, he can do the in-ring stuff.
But I don't think he's going to be able to carry the entire brand. You got to have somebody else step up.
Swerve.
I think MJF, Swerve, and Ospreay is a pretty damn good trilogy of guys.
Do they still have MJF? They removed his merchandise.
They still have MJF. And the only other thing I wanted to talk about from Dynamite, and it was a little, just short little promo, but like they had Adam Cole was back in the seat cutting a promo. Why were they just not doing this 3 months ago? It's at least something for him to do.
But why do I even care about this promo? Oh, no. Wardlow fail, step up. Okay, that's what everybody's been saying for Wardlow for, 3 years?
I mean, granted, yeah, the promo was just kind of like whatever. But, like, I'm talking about the aesthetic of Adam Cole as sort of like the crime boss leader because he's actually hurt. So you're filming him in, like, this Godfather-esque den. Well, shit, why were you not doing that?
Because
way back then,
because the people that he was involved with aren't getting ready to come back is the only thing I can guess on that one.
So, and why does he not have the devil mask in the background? Again, it's a little ancillary detail. We've
moved on from that,
but you could at least have it. You have to keep it around. But I guess they shit the bed so much they are trying to.
You could literally put it on a shelf behind him.
No, this is what I'm saying. They're feeling more WWE by the moment of, please forget the things that have happened in the past, because we are going to just not acknowledge any of it.
Well, let's move to SmackDown from Friday. I see the master of the punch, KO, strikes again. Yeah, that was funny.
Caught pretty deadly in the back. Two people at once. Master of the flying guillotine. I can knock out five flies. He can knock out two people at a shot.
Listen, Nick Aldis, you got to lay down the law, man. You can't have people just punching people backstage. Come on, man. That's right in front of you. Come on. We're going to have an authority figure. You can't play favorites.
We were talking a little bit about this before we started, but this episode of SmackDown was the most oatmeal show that they had put on in a long time.
We have no actual matches in our notes unless you got something.
I thought Friday night sucked.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, it was okay. It didn't do anything horrible. It didn't do anything great. It just was.
And somehow you were texting us about Dynamite, talking about when can I turn this off? I started to return the favor Friday night, but I was like,
Well, the thing that's crazy about Friday night is they're 2 weeks away from WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now's not the time for oatmeal.
No. Yeah.
Like, this needs to even be full bore.
Yeah, I mean.
And you know why it felt that way?
The
Roman Reigns, champion for 4 years. All this company tells me, he's a Mount Rushmore type of guy. Mount Rushmore type of guy. We get to the end segment, Friday night. Does he,
he's got nothing.
Did anybody feel anything? Any kind of emotion? Remember. Was there a spark?
The only good part of that, and this got a huge pop from my wife. She jumped up and started yelling and was like, why haven't I been watching this longer? The only good part was when, you know, you get Jimmy and Solo kind of flanking.
Yeah, that was
Roman. And it, I mean, it's not because it was anything Roman did. It was just when you see Jay and Seth kind of creep in.
It was like for once the face wasn't a dumbass completely.
Yeah,
right.
But I mean, other than calling him an idiot, other than Roman calling Rhodes an idiot, what I don't even remember what he said.
Yeah, because he said nothing of consequence. Yeah. Because he is nothing of consequence. He is a champion who dresses in a hoodie and jogging pants. And somehow this company wants to keep telling me he's as big as Hulk Hogan or he's as big as damn The Rock or Austin or any of these people. And he does not, he is not that.
I don't know that the fans will remember him that way.
Now, here's my question to you, because this is something that has been bandied about here. Roman loses at WrestleMania. He ain't coming back the next night. So is this their way of setting up the Cody's next feud with the only person that at that level at this stage, which is The Rock, by letting The Rock overshadow him some?
The Rock is not going to be available from May until August because of filming obligations.
Yeah, but he's cutting shit on Twitter and stuff like that.
So unless you have a real quick run between him and Cody in April.
I don't know.
I just think
Roman ain't that good.
If Roman was who he says he is and who the company says he was, it wouldn't matter even if they are purposefully trying to overshadow him. They wouldn't overshadow him.
Is that where there were tweets today I saw that said that, like, you know, people believe that The Rock is trying to overshadow Roman. Is that where this came from?
Yeah, I think so.
But you're saying the WWE is doing it intentionally.
Yes.
And I'm saying they're not doing it intentionally. Roman just sucks.
Going back to all the, there are so many little things that they do, and Raw was a perfect example of it. Because if you want to compare two shows, I mean, out of the three shows that happened, I guess four, out of the four shows that happened this week, Raw was the one that was the most watchable. And it wasn't even close.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, and in terms of wrestling content, the only match I listed, or I didn't even list it, you did, but because I forgot, I meant to put on there, was the Ricochet and JD. We can get to that in a minute. But yeah, like, just in terms of watchability, I just thought of SmackDown. I looked at Jamie halfway through SmackDown and was like, nothing of consequence has happened yet.
They tried to further the LWO, LDF, whatever initials is. They tried to further that storyline, but I don't think that's hitting where they want it to hit just yet. It's.
Do we need another Rey and Dominic showdown at SmackDown?
That has always been one of their goals, is they want to have the mask versus mask kind of thing at WrestleMania because there's money in selling masks.
Sure.
So I get why they're trying to do it, but it's not hitting right now. And when you have that, and then you have the tag match between Waller, Theory, and the Good Brothers, which is okay. Not how I expected that one to end, but whatever. Which was it was an okay match. You had the EO versus Naomi. Yeah, it was an okay match. But it's nothing that was great. Whereas over on Raw, I mean, you had a story at the beginning that led to the ending, and there was things that happened all throughout the middle of it that furthered that story, but also had side branches.
There was more soap opera than wrestling last night.
Oh, 100%.
And I'm not saying that I'm mad at it, because it was all actually pretty interesting last night. But that's not why I'm trying to watch a 3-hour. The 3 hours is too much on a Monday night. But
you're not going to hear me ever say that Raw needs to be 3 hours. I get why Raw is 3 hours. I'd take that money too if I was in their position. But It doesn't need to be 3 hours. It's why you have those 4 minutes of The Rock coming out. It's why on SmackDown you had roughly 5 minutes of Roman walking out.
So we touched very briefly on it earlier, but let's talk about Cody's segment part one.
Okay.
At the beginning of the show. So Cody's doing his thing for a while. The Rock comes and takes 17 minutes to get out there and whisper in Cody's ear. And apparently what he whispered was, "Tonight I'm going to make you bleed."
Yep.
According to lip readers on Twitter.
But here's what's crazy. Roman and Cody had a 15-minute segment on SmackDown where they, or 20 minutes, whatever, they traded jabs back and forth. All The Rock has to do is come out, walk down the ramp, whisper in Cody's ear. The crowd chants, "This is awesome, holy shit," and he walks back out.
So do we still think that The Rock is... At this point, if The Rock is quote unquote working with Cody,
I don't think they
just threw all that out the window with beating the literal shit out of.
I stand by this. The reason, and I know you want it still explained because it hasn't been really. I still say that he stepped aside because in his house legends have authority. And that was it. He wasn't stepping aside because they're working together. It's, you know, he's. The Rock is in it for The Rock. Rock has always been in it for The Rock.
Yeah.
At this point, he should just say, "Hey, you should step aside because Roman has as much charisma as a fucking 2x4. And I need to be in this match. And then we can do this by the..." It's just crazy. I don't think we talked enough about this. Roman Reigns has been champion 4 years. He had a segment on SmackDown and we just bypassed it because it was that fucking shitty. And the dude is only on TV once every 6 months. This is insane to me.
But that's the thing. That's exactly what Cody says in this promo is, "I act like a champ because the champ ain't here." But that comes from the fact that Roman was such an important star to WWE that he was able to negotiate those Brock Lesnar style deals and be like, "I don't have to be fucking here."
But is he? I don't. Maybe I'm taking crazy pills. Is Roman a big star to WWE, or is WWE hot right now because the brand of the WWE is hot and top to bottom, that roster is all over?
I think WWE is hot right now because Cody Rhodes.
I think that the brand is hot. I think Rhodes has a big part of
Punk
it.
We came don't get back.
Yeah, we don't get Rhodes or the Punk part without Roman. And again, but you, it was an. Roman gave way for an ensemble cast that has now grown past him a little bit.
My argument to that, I think you're right, and my argument would be the ensemble passed him because they are more talented.
But by that same token, you could say the same thing about Seinfeld. He got outshadowed after that show was on long enough. You weren't watching so much for Jerry. You were watching for those Kramer episodes. You were watching for the, you know, the George and weirdness. So, but it's still the Seinfeld show.
I would be hard pressed to imagine a world where in 30 years, the wrestler who is going to be main eventing WrestleMania 70 is going to be giving an interview. And they say anything of the sort of, "I decided to be a wrestler because I was watching Roman Reigns." I do not think that's going to happen. And he will be the only top guy in the history of professional wrestling that is completely inconsequential to the history of wrestling.
Again, though, this goes back to what Roman has actually accomplished. He has gotten it to the point of doing those subtle stories. Because that's where those all kind of started with that Bloodline run, which lets The Rock come out there and just go and walk away.
But I now in retrospect, that subtlety is probably the best move they did because there's nothing there. There's no, like that saying, there's no there.
But again, you're making me defend somebody who I've always been up against up until the moment he went subtle and embraced the douchebagginess of what he has always been.
If we all just close our eyes though, and we say, and I ask you, picture, give me a description of Roman Reigns. Like if I ask you, give me a description of Hulk Hogan in a wrestling context, not in a professional context. It's say your prayers, eat your vitamins. It's red and yellow. It's Hulkamania and running. It's all these things. Shawn Michaels, same thing. Sexy boy. It's the super kick. It's the flamboyancy. If I ask you Roman Reigns, what is it? It's nothing.
No, to me, he's always been the guy that has been forced down your throat. He is undeserving of the accolades that he was given early on. He was the guy in the Shield that did not match up to the other two guys in the Shield. He was being carried by them. And they continued to try to force that for however many years we are into his legacy here. And it wasn't until 3 years ago that they finally let him be what the crowd has wanted him to be the entire time.
Do you think when he leaves, anybody's going to miss him?
Paul Heyman.
The fact that you have to think about that is the answer.
Well, I mean, they missed him when he left the first time.
Different circumstances. Different circumstances. Leukemia is a real life thing. I'm talking about if we are all right and Cody Rhodes beats him at WrestleMania.
And
Roman Reigns leaves.
He's at that point, and it's the same thing we've been saying for this last couple of weeks. He needs to then step up to continue to grow and do something. But he has done something. It's a minor thing, but I think 70 years from now, the stuff that Corey actually hates in wrestling, but the soap opera-ness is going to be over the top even more because of that.
I don't hate it. It's just that there's too much. I was just thinking, I was like, okay, so if Roman takes 6 months off, you get a whole lot of TV time back.
Oh, yeah.
People walking down the fucking ramp.
Well, and if they do want to do The Rock and Roman Reigns, and they want to get Roman Reigns over as a babyface, do you think people are going to cheer him against The Rock?
Depends on what The Rock's doing.
The Rock is doing the same thing he's doing right now. Well, they're screaming The Rock when he's going up against Cody Rhodes, and Cody Rhodes is out here kissing babies and damn.
They are up until
weddings
he starts
and shit.
When he whispered, they booed. When he did the stuff that he did in part two, they booed.
But they booed because it's against Cody Rhodes.
But he's doing it in a sadistic way, and I think they are getting behind that as well.
So why are they just letting so much blood on TV now all of a sudden? Because was Bronson Reed's looked accidental probably because it was out of his
that
nose.
That was accidental, yeah.
But Cody was gushing at one point.
Well, yeah, but this is a time with, I know they're talking about how they sent out a memo after last night saying, please curse a little less. And I think
PG, brother.
I think that the cursing in the middle there took away from at the end because it accentuates that story that's going on more. That blood is what this story needs to take it to that very personal level of, I'm going to give this bloody belt to your mom.
Well, he told him he's going to make him bleed. Cody should have had his head on a swivel.
he got an interview in the back. He made a promise he ain't going to keep.
And listen, he kept it. I thought the end of Monday Night Raw, contrast that with the end of SmackDown, the end of Monday Night Raw was absolutely fantastic. 100%. Everything about it.
Yeah.
There was...
But we still got, let's get back to, because we've got a whole story to get through there before we even get to the end.
Well, I was just saying, we could go ahead and wrap that whole thing into one, like the.
Well, but I mean, you get the things that are happening backstage where you've got Sammy and Gable talking after Sammy takes that pen from Bronson Reed, where if you look in the background, you got Paul Heyman talking to Drew McIntyre.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he's back there making, you know, in the background talking. Then suddenly when you cut down to the end here, who pops out of the crowd to take out, you know, Seth to out of that equation to let The Rock come out there and get his ass whipping in? I mean, there are so many little side stories that happen throughout that episode that are just, it was beautiful.
They're doing just a good job of pulling you into the world and making it, and doing, telling the narratives in a way where you feel like for the first time in a long time in wrestling, the stories don't stop when they get to the curtain. Like everything keeps going backstage.
Cody was dragging Jimmy Uso's ass throughout the backstage area.
Yeah.
And got jumped by Solo, was holding it fine, but that was just that bait laying in that trap for The Rock to come out there and lay the
ass.
And
like we all talked about, you're going to get the Avengers team up at WrestleMania.
And I believe it more now after last night.
Did I send y'all the TikTok video?
What?
I must have just sent it to Jamie because Jamie is like the biggest Avengers fan. Somebody has analyzed all these things, the correlations between the Avengers and the storyline, and like how Roman turned around the other night and snapped his fingers Thanos, and that's when Jimmy and Solo came out, and they were talking about, you know, Seth has always been wearing these other colors, and the other night he had on the Iron Man colors, the red with the gold belt, right? It was that same red from like the Iron Man suit, all these other little things. And he was like, it could be coincidence, but they also could be.
But you, like what you, so what you're, what Steven's referring to though, in this, they, the Rock goes whooping Cody's ass outside.
Where you think he's going to toss his ass off the bridge, like, yeah, like Rock back in the day. Whose
face is on the production truck?
Oh, beautiful.
Old Stone Cold Steve Austin.
And who's on the other side?
Old John Cena.
Was it really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that shit flew over my head.
Yep. They got two faces right there on the back of that semi truck with them right in the middle with Cody getting ready to be thrown to his death.
And so it will happen. It's in the WrestleMania main event. If you want to talk, it's going to be overbooked look, like crazy.
I got The Rock over here. Just goosebumps thinking about that.
The glass will break at WrestleMania and Stone Cold will come down to help
you will hear me in Athens.
It will happen.
When Stone Cold jumps out, because by the time that's going to be 10 o'clock at night, I'm going to be 3 Corey pours deep on my bourbon. I'm going to be howling at the moon and shit.
This is always how it had to end. If you have a faction like the Bloodline, which has dominated WWE for 4 years, there is no other way to take them down than to have a sort of huge mix, especially bringing The Rock back. Then you have to bring another star back from that same era to combat that.
Yeah, and I've been telling you I didn't think so, but after last night, I'm taking your Kool-Aid. Let's do this.
It will happen, and you're gonna get the moment where everybody, it is Cody, and it is Seth, and it is Jay, and it is Stone Cold, and they're squaring off against The Rock and Drew McIntyre. Like that will happen at WrestleMania. All those guys will be in the ring at one time.
All right, I'm in.
And it helps to elevate everybody in there.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, Drew right now don't need a lot of help.
No, let's shift gears to that. You've been talking about Drew a lot the last few weeks. He's on one right now. He's on a heater with his social media skills because you hadn't picked up in the group chat. We were talking about him lifting the weights and he was listening to Cry Me a River.
Yeah, I didn't pick up on that part. Yeah.
We're talking when he's lifting weights, talking about Punk and then
triceps. I'm lifting more than you ever could.
And then the Mindy's joke went over my head. I was like, what's the fucking Mindy's joke?
And it's
then
closed on Monday and Tuesday.
Y'all are like, that's where CM Punk was eating his muffins from in the backstage at the presser. And then my man's comes out with two shirts last night.
Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't realize it. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's
Drew might be one of my favorites right now.
And from what I understand, they let them have a lot of free reign last night with that promo.
Clearly.
And there was a lot of things that were calling back to other things that it makes me happy that they're doing it. Cause you had are you a tough man in a kilt or are you a dude in a skirt? And he's like, oh, easy there. You're going to get canceled there, brother. You know, calling back the Roman Reigns stupidity. You got Drew, I'm the chosen one. Oh yeah. Who chose your ass? It's like, just
taking shots. I loved it.
Yeah. But it's kind of crazy. Cause like, that felt like a first year AEW promo where everyone's just kind of out there and no one's got a script and everybody's just kind of letting barbs fly.
It felt like a 2 years ago AEW promo, only they're able to capitalize on it instead of just letting it end up in a brawl in a backstage that nobody can talk about.
I was trying to explain some of that to Jamie. She's heard me talk about some of the AEW stuff. So I was trying to tell her about it and I was like, these three guys, as far as I know, fucking hate each other.
Well, I don't know about Drew and Punk.
Now, I think they don't. I don't think they like each other. I don't think Drew hates Seth as much as Drew hates CM Punk. But I know CM Punk and Seth don't get along.
Yeah, right. That's been a thing for a while.
Right. And that's what I was telling her. I was telling her about him talking before Punk came back. There were rumors, was Punk coming back? He's like, the dude's cancer. We don't want him here. And then how he acted the night he came through the tunnel, And I was like,
well, then that goes back to the Ring of Honor days. That goes back way further. And that was when Punk was at the top of Ring of Honor and Seth was Tyler Black.
But I was like, this feels like a shoot tonight.
But I definitely think I don't think there's any love lost between Drew and Punk either, just based on some of the things they're hinting at as well.
I mean, it could be. Could be possible. I mean, here's the thing. If you're Punk, you don't, I don't know if you want to pick a fight with Drew McIntyre.
But still, they are taking something that has legitimate potential, reality to it. And they're printing money.
Yeah, you just said exactly. That's what I was telling Jamie. I said, the thing that WWE is doing is what AEW failed to do. I was like, they could have made so much fucking money in the Elite versus Punk.
And they're trying to do it with what the hell's the scapegoat's name now?
Jack Perry.
Jack Perry, thank you. They're trying to do it with him, but it don't feel real because you got conflicting stories from the mouthpiece of your company and the people he's feeding his stories to.
And, you know, when Jack Perry comes back to AEW, he's not going to have CM Punk there to do anything off of.
Yeah, they've got no, they're, who are they going to be, you know, really working at that point? There's no reality to it.
So, but no, the promo between these three guys was fantastic.
I mean, Seth came out, said a little bit, but he didn't need to say a lot. He just took the shot and stomped it in.
Yeah. Seth has gotten, you know, I criticized him a couple weeks ago for being over the top and too jokey in these past 2-3 weeks. He's gotten a little joke in here and now, but when it's time to get serious, like when Punk went to the mat last night and counted three, Seth kind of no-sold it, and then he got quiet.
That's his counting arm.
Yeah. Well, that came after the fact. But after the crowd popped, he goes, you want to know what I think about you? I don't think about you. Like, he got serious with it, and that's what he needed to do. And everybody played their part perfectly. And, yeah, it felt chaotic, and it felt messy and great all at the same time.
And it felt like does anybody here think Seth Rollins is retaining?
No.
Do you think there's now a chance of Seth Rollins retaining now because you got a little bit of unpredictability of whose side is CM Punk going to mess with when he's out there on commentary?
No, because I think Seth's going to be the first casualty of the night two all is lost for our hero, Cody Rhodes. I think Cody eats the pin night one. I think The Rock beats the shit out of him.
But it does, to me, this adds a little bit of unpredictability.
What it adds to me is more, I think Seth's going to be okay when he gets past WrestleMania because he's still going to have stuff to do. And a lot of times when guys lose the title, they dip back down or like they don't have something relevant to do. And I think this is the three of these guys are going to carry whatever that championship.
And taking that a little step further, the main things that are coming up on WrestleMania, there are a lot of people that I don't think are going to take a step down based on what they're doing. I'm not sure about the Judgment Day just yet, but it all depends on how that story plays out. I know you have a hate on for Damian right now, but I think he's going to come out better than we think out of this as well.
Do you think they retain the tag titles?
No. God, no. I think they're going to, let me phrase that. Half at best. Because I the way that they are pumping these, because there were other matches on SmackDown. You had AOP versus the Street Profits. You had two tag matches on that card. You got multiple tag teams on this card in one match. There's enough tag teams that you no longer need to have a unified tag that I think both shows having their tag belts will have enough people there to do stuff.
So, do y'all want us go on to Rhea versus Becky? Are we done with the Punk triangle?
Yeah. I mean, the question with Punk is even when he comes back, is he going to blow out his other tricep or his other
knee? A funny-ass line about the rehab.
That popped my... She was half asleep listening to this, and she popped for that one. Just going,
that was cold.
Don't drink, don't do drugs, but spend a lot of time in rehab.
Don't look up my kilt, perv.
I also thought it was kind of a weird choice because Punk was talking about all the people that don't talk about him, and he mentioned The Rock and that famous promo. But then I remember, like, oh yeah, but The Rock beat him for that.
The moment that I felt like, oh, they're just shooting, was because like Drew had his mic down and wasn't even ready to say anything
about the PG.
And Punk curses, and Drew goes, reaches for his mic. He's like, PG, brother.
Well, and the Vince McMahon reference wouldn't, not. That you're not gonna fly. That won't fly in scripting.
But the difference being is, I think when they were done with that stuff, they went back in the background like, okay, I saw what you did there.
I don't know about that. They might have coexisted benevolently. I don't think they were back there talking about it.
I think no one's pulling any of that kind of shit because the infrastructure of WWE is too strong. Like the shit that Punk did in AEW, he will never even think about doing in WWE because it's just a different ball game.
If you look at it, he had to legitimately be fired on his wedding day for him to do that shit. He had to be no longer employed at the company for him to implode.
So
yeah. But. All right. So Rhea and Becky. This is still one of the most anticipated matches for me.
I still want Rhea to retain.
Can we just be done with Dom for just the next 2 weeks?
I don't know. You didn't enjoy seeing him get his ass punched out?
That was nice.
It's nice, but again, it's like we're 2 weeks from WrestleMania. I don't know. Can we? But it's these two, and I know Dom's going to be in the match somewhat, but like, I don't know, man. Not that he took away from it, but it's just like, okay, here Rhea is. She is positioned as one of the biggest women's actors in that company since Becky Lynch, probably. I mean, if we're being honest.
And Becky Lynch is calling out the truth of it, though.
Yeah, and I think part of the story, and no one has verbally said it yet, but it's Rhea should say something along the lines of, you're going to pass me this torch. And Becky saying, being something along the line, you're not ready to have it yet.
But see, yes and no, because Becky's calling out the truth of, you're not defending this title. When's the last time you wrestled here? And Rhea's calling out the truth of, I don't need to wrestle here. All I got to do is pop my ass out and smear it in somebody's face on the internet, and I'll break it 9 times out of 10. It's not about passing the torch at this stage. She's taking it. Whether or not Becky wants to acknowledge that is a different story.
Yeah, the Dom thing is just, I don't know. I mean, I love Dom, but like, I don't know. And maybe it's just my disinterest in the Judgment Day as a whole at this point.
I think that's because I'll be happier with them once they figure out what they're doing with Legado del Fantasma and Andrade and all the rest, because there's a lot of tapestries being woven there that need me to see where they're going with them.
Yeah, it's just, I'm ready for everybody to just go their separate ways and just do their own thing. I'm not going to like if our guy Andrade gets sucked up in the Judgment Day. That's just me personally, but
yeah. Might change my mind.
They gave him a new finisher though.
Yeah, so he did the spinning elbow into, what did he call it, the message?
Yeah.
Yeah, that shit was brutal looking.
It's a little bit like Ospreay's Stormbreaker, except Ospreay gets into it in a different way, but the ending is the same.
Yeah. I thought it was weird because at first I was like, why is he doing another move after that? Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And you called it the message. Point taken.
Yeah.
Received.
I got it. So we already did kind of the Cody segment part two. And the only match really worth discussing was Ricochet versus JD McDonagh.
I've been telling you that JD's got it. You just don't see it because he's in that comedy role. But dude can wrestle.
It was a good match. It was, I meant to put it on the list and I forgot. So I was glad that you did.
Well, I mean, when he did when he was going for that jerking arm suplex that he goes for, that ended up into what, a Canadian destroyer or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, there was some solid craziness spot. It was definitely a spot monkey wrestling match.
Why do they not just have Ricochet do that every week?
I think this is a preempt to that.
Well, then good, because that's is what Ricochet does better than anybody else on that roster.
He's had 3 weeks of eating the Judgment Day.
Yeah.
So you got that, I think, you're talking about how people coming out of WrestleMania are going to look better. I think this is a setup for that. I think that I'm standing by Gunther retains, but I think this is building toward maybe even Ricochet taking it from him after WrestleMania.
It could be. It's just, again, it's like I say all the time, like, good people get up for good wrestling. It doesn't matter where it comes from.
That was another moment where the WWE is not holding back on the nudges and winks that they're given. And this was another match where you got Michael Cole going, Ricochet, quick as a puma.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a callback to Lucha, Lucha Underground,
yeah,
where he was Prince Puma. And you got, you know, McAfee going, saying whatever the stupid ass line about our Puma's known for being quick and them just, you know, breaking themselves for a little bit. But they keep doing all these little hints to other things where they're like, yeah, we acknowledge everybody else around us at this stage, and we're just going to have some fun with it.
Yeah, because they have nothing to worry about at this point. So it seems stupid for the big dog to be constantly worried about everybody else.
I mean, you got Cody in the ring going, hey, I made you a premises here in Chicago before, and you know I cash in on him.
Although he missed an opportunity to say, when I make a bet, I go all in. He should have said that.
He did the Bullet Club.
And he talked about the bullets on his
Bullet cuff rings.
So he's leaning into that.
Which, the fucking founder of the Bullet Club is also on WWE, but what, I mean, that's all. They kind of halfway kind of talked about that and then forgot about it. But.
I mean, you got Finn, you got AJ.
Well, Finn is the definitive. I mean, Finn was the guy that he would get on Gallows' shoulders and come out to the ring. And I mean, that era of Prince Devitt was.
I would love to see what they, if they could, once we get a little further down the line, if they bring some of that in, and they may.
Maybe. Well, I have a shirt that says Balor Club. They tried to do it back in the day, and it kind of got over. And then Finn is going to be an interesting case of what if, you know, the injuries didn't pile up. Because he was as hot as anything, that Universal title on SummerSlam.
He's done, you know.
Just unfortunate circumstance.
Yeah, when I started, even 5 years ago, he was one of the names that I knew just from seeing stuff online before I watched the shows.
But the love for him goes back to that entrance in the Demon for a while, because he was pulling that Bray Wyatt kind of stuff that I think helped him get over.
That's how I knew it was fucking Funko Pops. The Demon Funko Pops were like, I was super into Funko Pops at the time, and that was people were fucking wild and out about getting those before they were sold out. Any other final notes before anything we didn't cover?
No, I think that's it.
We got the Bray Wyatt Immortal thing coming up here.
Oh, yeah, that'll be good. That'll be a good documentary.
I still never watched the fucking Cody one. I needed to watch that.
That one's fun.
I should really watch it.
I feel like a lot of the stuff that he talks about has now been brought out into the main storyline. But
here's the thing about Bray Wyatt. Like I mentioned, like 30 years from now, I don't think anybody's going to talk about Roman Reigns. They'll talk about Bray Wyatt.
But again, it's when you think about Bray Wyatt, and you think about Bray Wyatt matches, think about how all those, I mean, a majority of them, while I loved him as a character, a lot of those matches did not go over the way they could have or should have.
Yeah, but his thing is the character work. Mm-hmm. His is, what can a professional wrestling character be, and how can you change it? And I think someone will take his inspiration and his ideas, and they will run with it.
Now, I think if he had been given the opportunity to win some of those big moments that he didn't, we might have gotten a little bit of different opinion of him. But if he had, we wouldn't have got what I think is his definitive contribution to WWE in that the Firefly Funhouse match with Cena, which they will never be able to recreate that.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that was
just
weird.
One last opportunity for me to shit on Roman Reigns before we end the podcast.
Well, on that note, hopefully you guys will be able to hear us tomorrow. I started the process of switching our podcast host today. It says it went successfully, so I guess we'll find out tomorrow if you're hearing our voices on Wednesday or any day after Wednesday. That means that it worked, and it was way easier than it should have been. Please follow us on Instagram and Threads at Alabama Slam Pod. We're still on X for some reason until more wrestling content is on Threads. I still haven't given up on that, but you can also follow our network of fellow podcasters at thealabamatake.com or the Alabama Take on all social media. And you can go to tpublic.com and search for the Alabama Take or Alabama Slam and find t-shirts for either our show or our brother and sister shows in the network. And we would appreciate that as well. And we will talk to you guys next week.